I mean, this is, guys, this is our last service of 2019. Can you believe that? Like, maybe for some of you it flew by, and others you're like, dude, this year took forever. You know, I don't know where all of you may, it's like kind of when you have toddlers, it's like the days are extremely long, but the years go fast, right? But it's hard to believe that we're just a couple of days away from the new year. And what an awesome, I don't know if most of you were here for Christmas Eve service, and I was blown away by the fact that there were some 60 people in this room. Like, I don't even know where they came from, to be honest with you. It's just really, really an awesome, awesome thing to see. And with what an answer to prayer, and with Christmas out of the way as we prepare, you know, to begin 2020, my heart, like, and I'm really just sharing my heart with you this morning, because my heart and the burden that God has placed on my heart is that we would all have, as we enter the new year, that we would have 2020 vision. But not in a physical sense. Because some of you are blind in 2019, you're going to be blind in 2020. You know, others of you, you can hit a, you know, running rabbit with a $3 pistol. I don't mean 2020 vision in a spiritual sense, right? Here's what I mean. Where will your focus be? Where will your thoughts be? Where will you fix your eyes? Where are your resources going to go? Where is your time going to go? Where will your focus be in 2020? Truly. And then I'll go a step further and ask you to compare that focus with your focus of 2019, and please don't take this the wrong way. In no way am I suggesting that what you were focused on in 2019 was wrong or inaccurate, or what you're about to focus on in 2020 is wrong or maybe it is. Maybe it was, and you know that. Maybe you were way off base and you were focused all your time, all your resources, everything you had on stuff, just stuff that doesn't even really matter at all. But I'll tell you this, and I know without question, with all of my heart, that God has, well, he has laid on my heart that very subject, the importance of focus this year. And we talked a little bit about that on Christmas Eve, didn't we? If you were here, you recall. And you know, it's funny, God, you know, he didn't speak to me audibly in any way or anything like that. And I believe he can do that today and does that with certain people. And that's what an awesome thing that must be. And I don't mean to discount the fact that he does speak that way. I'm stressing the fact he didn't speak like that to me, but he did lay on my heart the fact that somebody that did come here on Christmas Eve refocused, whether it was because they only go to church on Christmas and Easter only, their CEOs, or whether it was because they were focused on completely the wrong kind of stuff all year, whether it was because for the first time in their life they came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ and realized the very purpose for which he was born to begin with, and we celebrated that in here. I'm confident of that. And in that time together, we looked beyond the natural elements of Christmas, beyond the material gifts, right? Beyond the commercial aspect of Christmas. And we looked past those natural elements of the Christmas story that we see in the manger, beyond Mary and Joseph and beyond the hay and beyond the animals and beyond the wise men and the angels and, you know, beyond the stars and beyond the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. When we focus on the supernatural elements, didn't we? That's what we studied. That's what we were focused on. The fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, as we approach the new year, maybe we need to look beyond the natural elements of life and focus on the supernatural aspects of life as well. And that's my prayer for all of us, myself included. In short, okay, that our 2020 vision will be focused on spiritual matters. Listen, we all make, and I'm not discounting the goals that you're setting for 2020. It's good to set goals. It's awesome to set goals. Okay, I'm not discounting the New Year's resolutions that you're making, and you know people want to lose weight and get in shape, and you know they want to do all this stuff. And this time of year, the gym owners this time of year, they love it. And as a gym goer, we hate it, but we know this: we know by April, May, it'll just thin out again and go right back to normal. Like those that frequent a gym, they know that. It's okay that you set goals. It's okay that you're making New Year's resolutions. I simply want you to focus, like, what are those really? Do those have any lasting impact? Are those really important? What? In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Word of God says this: physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Now, this is not a free ticket to get out of exercising and eating healthy. Some of you are setting that goal, and you should have that goal, right? You should. How will you have an impact? How will God be able to use you if you're not healthy? Like, everything in moderation, right? I don't want to have a sermon on don't eat McDonald's and stuff like that, but hey, don't eat McDonald's, right? Don't eat that junk every day. Like, how are you, if you're not healthy, you really can't have much of an impact, okay? Physical training has value, and I'm not discounting that, but training in spiritual matters, so much more important. Let me remind you of a very powerful statement that Jesus made. He said this in Matthew. He said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." This is a very direct statement. There's no like hidden meaning here. Okay, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was instructing the people to seek the things of God over the things of the world. Now, that's a drastic statement today. Wouldn't you agree with that? Especially today. Why? Because normally we seek the things of the world first, and then whatever we have left with that, with those resources, then we seek God. With the energy we have left, with the time that we have left, with those, then we seek after supernatural things, right? None of us are above it. But God, listen, in love, encourages us to focus that 2020 vision on him first. I think a lot of us, we've been walking through 2019 and we've just been giving him the leftovers. And again, not to discount the responsibilities of life. And listen, I've got a job outside of pastoring, and I have to work, and I have to raise my kids, and I have to provide for them, and I've got to provide for my wife. And all of those things are very, very time consuming, and we have to do those things. Now, when we do those things, are we doing them unto the Lord? Or are we doing them just in our flesh, in our own strength, in our own wisdom, with our own goals in mind, not the things that God would have us do and the way he's leading and guiding and directing? We all have those responsibilities, right? What is it that... what is it that you need God to provide in 2020? What is something that only He can provide you this year? You know, maybe it's just peace. Like you know what you have ahead of you in 2020. You already know the first and second quarter of your calendar. You know the meetings. You know the agenda. You know the monotony. You know the struggle. You know what's waiting. It's no surprise. And for some of you, this year is not going to look much different than last year. And last year was tough. And you're wondering how it is you even made it through it. So maybe it's just peace that you need, a supernatural peace. And you know God's word talks about a peace that surpasses understanding. And you need that. That's precisely what you need. Whatever that need might be, and you fill in the blank, I can promise you, you don't need more stuff. You don't need more money. You don't even need more time. We all have the same. Maybe you need more wisdom in how you ought to be using the time that you have. I know I do. Because sometimes after a long day of whether it's sermon prep or it's counseling or it's whatever ministry stuff I have going on top of being a father, on top of being a husband, sometimes I just want to go home and go in my room and lay in bed and shut the door and not do anything. There's a time and a place for that, yes. And we all ought to rest. But some, this last year, and even thinking about what's coming up in 2020, like, escapism is not the key. That's not the answer. Escaping from the tasks at hand, escaping from the tough stuff that's coming before you in 2020 is not the answer. But seek ye first the kingdom, and then, listen, all the other stuff, He'll add it to you. Do you realize that God will do more with less time than if you have more time and you remove God from the equation? Like, I give you an hour and I ask you to give God the first fruits of your morning and to spend the first, say, 10, 20 minutes even with God before you do anything else. Most of you will not do that because you've got too much stuff to do. I mean, and rightly so. Your calendar is packed. You don't even know how you're going to accomplish the things that you need to do each day. So you don't bring God the first fruits of your morning because you don't have the time. But I suggest that if you seek ye first Him, the kingdom, His righteousness, He will do more in half the time than if you had every minute of that hour. So as we approach the new year, with just a couple days left in 2019, I've entitled this Bible study, New Year, New You. And this new year study comes from our text in Ephesians chapter 4. And there's kind of a twofold meaning to that statement, the new year, new you statement I made. Number one, and don't forget this, listen, you know this. You know this, but, and maybe this is not applicable for 99.9% of you, for the one person in here or listening later that has forgotten this fact, I want you to remember this first. For those of us that are in Christ Jesus, which we know is a theme Paul taught, okay? He taught us what it means to be in Christ Jesus, the first few chapters of the book of Ephesians. For those of us in Christ Jesus, we are already made new. Do you remember that? Do you remember what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says? Says this. The Word of God says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This, by the way, this in and of itself is supernatural. Okay, much like the fact that the Bible tells us those of us in Christ are born again, not of flesh and blood, but a new spiritual rebirth. Listen, you are a new creation. New. The same God, the same creator God, don't forget that. Don't forget the fact that in the same way that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, created them out of nothing by simply speaking what it was he wanted to create into existence, well, the same creator God, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he created you as in you a new creation. And really look at that. Look at that verse. If anyone is in Christ, and if it were me, I'd be circling in Christ. He is a new creation. You might highlight or underline that. Now look, old things have passed. Some of you need to hear that again. Old things have passed. Behold, this is very strong language. Behold, all things have become new. But what about this therefore? The first word of that verse. You see that? I knew this little border stage would come in handy one day. Look, therefore, what about that? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, that word therefore, that should cause us to back up a few verses and see what's going on before he makes this statement. So let's do that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. It'll be up on the screen for you. So that's verse 17. We'll begin in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, which, by the way, is very powerful to begin with. And I love how the NLT, and if you have an NIV, it's probably worded similar. It says, Christ's love controls us. Imagine that. No, really. Imagine in 2020, imagine your focus, your 2020 vision in 2020 is the fact that the love of Christ controls you. Not your feelings, right? Not our thoughts, unless they line up with Scripture, but the love of Jesus Christ. That is what controls us. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all. Listen, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Let me read that one again, because that one stepped on my toes. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, verse 16, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We regard no one according to the flesh. I wonder if we could just stop regarding ourselves as flesh. Like, and stop focusing on flesh, on earthly, worldly stuff that doesn't really even matter. I wonder if we could just, if we could take this to heart. Why? while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Is what you're focused on in 2020 eternal things? Or on physical, natural, fleshly, temporary things? And also, because as 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Were you really walking by faith in 2019? Many of you, absolutely. Others, not so much. And that's kind of the change that needs to take place in 2020, is getting back to a place where we're not walking as we're seeing with our physical eyes, but with the spiritual. And we're getting back to a place of truly walking by faith and not by sight. And knowing if God has called me to do something, that He sure as heck is God and I am not. And He's going to be able to provide the direction, the resources, and everything I need to carry that through, to walk in that direction. You know, when we come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, like, we were already walking a certain way. And it was the wrong way. And it was in the wrong direction. And Jesus Christ Himself, He snatches us up, He picks us up, and then He points us in a different direction. And we are to keep walking in that direction. We are to progress. Like, we are to keep going and grow and get farther along in the direction that He has set us, by faith, not by sight. We're not going to grow spiritually with these eyes, right? And listen, because of this new life made possible by Jesus Christ, the things of this world, even self, even Ryan, because of me meditating on the fact of what Jesus Christ did for me and remembering that I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, regardless of how I may feel, especially how we might feel a lot of the times, especially regarding some of the junk that pops in between our ears, I am still a new creature in Jesus Christ, and I, Ryan, become less important, much like John the Baptist said, I must become less, and He must become more. It's the same for you and me. And can we do that in 2020? And remember verse 17 again, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I wonder how many of you are trying to hold on to your old life and carry it on and with your new life. Like, it's too heavy. Like, you got to put that down. And many of us, listen, here's what happens. We lay it down, and then we draw closer to God, and we're walking closer with Him, and we're progressing, and we're growing spiritually, and then all of a sudden, in the corner of our eye, we see that junk again, we see that old life, and then we come over here, and we just pick it up again, and then we're trying to lug it with us again. And it's a constant daily battle of laying down that old life and remembering. And that's not to say that any one of us will be without sin. But listen, some of you guys have been, you've been fighting battles with your old sin nature that aren't even yours to fight to begin with. And that's how your 2019 has looked. And if nothing changes, nothing changes. And the same thing will be in 2020. You've gotten away from the fact that your old sin nature was crucified with Christ. It was literally put to death, nailed to the cross with Jesus. and buried with him. And just like Jesus was raised to life, we are raised with him and are now to walk in newness of life. New year, new you, walk in that newness of life. Okay? Let me remind you, and what I'm saying here, these are not my principles. Like, I didn't concoct this story or this, you know, listen, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See that newness of life? This is the new person. This is the new creation that Paul speaks of when he says we are all new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we're big on claiming that, and that's awesome, and we should be. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, but what do I try to teach everybody that comes in this door here? Context, right? So claim it. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. But let's not overlook that statement we saw just prior to that powerful verse. Those who receive this new life, this new nature, okay, they no longer live for themselves. They live for Christ who died for them and was raised for them. In fact, Paul, he said a bunch of powerful stuff. For one, would you love to get to the fact or to the point where you could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Like, we read over that real quick, but that is a huge, very, very impactful statement that he makes. But look at this. He said this in Galatians, and I want you to think on this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See that? That's the therefore. And there's a lot of therefores in the Bible. And we've seen Paul say therefore a few times, even just in studying chapter 4, right? And guess what? As we finish chapter 4, as we look at chapter 5, we go into chapter 6, Paul's going to say therefore a few more times. And most of y'all know when you see therefore to figure out what it's there for. And sometimes we miss the fact that the purpose for the word therefore being there is in order to elicit a response from us. Right? Therefore, because of X, Y, or Z, and you know, we're supposed to respond in some way. Like when Paul spent 3 chapters telling us who we are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, of the spiritual wealth, of the spiritual riches, who you are in Christ. Therefore, walk worthy, right? Or even as we look at the next section of text in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this beginning in Ephesians 4, 17, he says, this I say, therefore. Watch. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul says, he says, this I say, therefore. And then he's got some more stuff to say about how they live, how they're walking. Remember who he's speaking with. If you go back to the very first sentence, Ephesians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, this is who he's talking to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. He's talking to the Christians in Ephesus. And he's got more to say about how they should live. Not so much regarding what they should do, but more of a focus on things they shouldn't be doing, right? So what does that mean for us? Well, as we're intentional, as we're intentional about our 2020 vision this year, as we remember that foundational truth that we are already made new in Jesus Christ, let's also be reminded, let's take the advice that Paul is trying to give these folks here in Ephesus. You know, you got to remember, he had just explained the importance of building the body of Christ, right? He explained Jesus gave certain gifts to certain men. He gave some to be pastors and teachers in order to train and equip and raise up to equip the rest of the body of Christ to do ministry, to serve, to edify the body, for the body building that we talked about for a couple of weeks. And listen, if we don't grow, the body won't grow. And some of us, like, that's the refocus that needs to be made. Not so much in me being able to increase my deadlift from such and such a pound to this pound, or being able to, you know, accomplish Fran in a, and Fran is a ridiculous CrossFit workout that, you know, kills me most times I do it. It's like those things are good goals to have, but they ought to be secondary. Like my focus, my priority in 2020 needs to be towards a spiritual growth, a spiritual fitness. Why? Because that has lasting value here and in the life to come in eternity. Here, that we would, like we just saw in Ephesians in the last couple weeks, that we would grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Already being a new creation, now let's look at a new year and a new you by growing in Christ, by truly living for him. And maybe we got to loosen our grip on some of the stuff out there in order to do that, in order to refocus, in order for that 2020 vision to be focused on the right thing, not so much on what is temporary, but on what is eternal. And guess what? Your spiritual growth, that is eternal. And how do we do that? For most of us, we've got to implement exactly what Paul is instructing the people in Ephesus, what he's telling them to do, or rather, what not to do. For some of us, listen, we got to stop memorizing scripture and start sharing it with people that are lost. Like, that's the next step for some of us to take. For some of us, it's time to truly stop being a closet Christian and to take a personal responsibility for what Jesus commanded as far as preach the gospel to all nations and to make disciples. And like, we need to break out of our shell and out of our box, and we need to start abiding, and we need to connect, and we need to absolutely serve and begin to think of others as higher than we are. And Paul, in this context here, he's pretty clear explaining that these folks that have come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, and listen to this, their lives, they should look different than those that don't know Christ. Paul says, live differently than the world around you. And we ought to do the same. And I mention that because today it's almost as if Christ followers are trying to show the world that, hey, you know, I'm really not very different than you. I'm not much different from everyone else. And when we should be doing the opposite, right? Listen, you are different. You have the answers. You do. In the Word of God. And I think people have good intention in doing this. I think people do this with an effort to gain respect or to gain trust or even in an effort to be relatable or relevant. Let me just tell you, God's Word does not need your help in being relevant to anybody. Nobody. And that's what frustrates me so much about walking into a church that looks just like the world. That is not the biblical model as we see church planting and church in the book of Acts, right? No longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. And then he makes an interesting statement and kind of explains how they walk or why it is that they live the way they do. They walk, watch this. In the futility of their mind. Their thoughts are futile. Now let me explain, because this does not mean that people that don't know Christ can't be smart, right? We know that. It doesn't mean that they can't have great intellectual understanding or even accomplish good things. Not at all. This suggests that their minds are full of things that don't really matter at all. Like in the long run, when compared with eternity, their thoughts are futile. Doesn't matter. They lead to nothing in the end. Do you get it? Lead to absolutely nothing. No matter how smart someone is, Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Intellect means nothing. It's the same, same concept in why we talked about false prophets and testing the spirits and being mindful of the deception that's out there, because we might see good things. Listen, a mile down the road from my house, 1 mile, there's a Mormon church here, there's a Jehovah's Witness church there. Now, many of us have backgrounds with those practices, and they are cults, and I love you. It's just wrong biblically. But listen, good things are happening in those churches this morning. People are loving one another. People are giving of their money. People are giving of their times. Good things are happening. But it's futile, because in the end, it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Paul's encouragement here. Don't live like everybody else. Live differently. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now catch that. Why is their understanding darkened? Because they're alienated from God. Because they are ignorant. And because their hearts are blind. Which sounds like most of the lost people that I know that don't know Christ. You know, the more someone rejects God, the more calloused they become, which Paul explains this way in verse 19, who, watch, being past feeling, this has the idea of skin being calloused to the point where it can no longer feel pain anymore, right? Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all cleanness with all uncleanness, with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Literally, the language suggests much like you would change clothes. That you would take off your old garments. Like if a guy is in prison and he serves his sentence and he gets out, and when he leaves prison, he's still wearing his prison outfit and still acting like a prisoner. Is he really free? Like, is there any real change? Change your clothes. Take off your old garments and ye be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. Right? And then listen to verse 23. This is so important. And for many of you, your 2020, if you want change, it's got to start here. Has to. It has to start here. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Maybe you're 2019 like you had the most difficult year, but you were doing everything right. What do? You continue to run your race. For me, listen, I look back at the, we got here in May of 2017, and I look at the rest of 2017 and the challenges that we had here. I look at all of 2018 and the challenges that we've had here. I look at all of 2019 and the challenges that we had here. I have every reason to believe that 2020 is going to be full of challenges as well. But you know what I'm going to do? For me personally, I'm going to double up. And maybe that's a term that you need to take. You need to hold on to. Like, yeah, in 2019, I was waking up at 4 a.m. and I was reading the Bible for an hour and praying and journaling before I did anything, before I worked out and did anything, because, yes, absolutely, physical fitness is of some value, but spiritual fitness is far greater. And you are fasting and you are praying and you had intimate quiet time. You know what? I understand. So double up. Do more. Is that, are you really going to rob yourself of something if you do that, right? No. That's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. What do you want your 2020 to look like? Because the closer that you abide with Christ, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter the challenge. It doesn't matter the doctor report. Your blood work don't matter. Kidneys are shutting down. You're, spitting out kidney stones left and right. Listen, nothing else matters. If you're abiding in him, then that peace that just doesn't make any sense at all will in fact come upon you and overtake you, and you will be able to say, even in this moment, it is well with my soul. Maybe you got to double up. Now I'm done, but my prayer for you guys, well, my prayer for all of us, the year 2020, think of your 2020 vision. Where are you going to focus that? Where is that going to be fixed? Is it on something that is futile, that in the end doesn't really mean anything? Is there lasting value to your efforts? and take this away. If you've heard nothing that I've said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Stop letting your thoughts dictate how you feel, and then your actions be based on your feelings, and take in the Word of God and get in His Word and hear from Him and pray to Him and speak with Him and abide in Him. Because for many of us, it's, the enemy does not want you to abide closer in Christ in 2020. The enemy does not want you focused on a spiritual fitness. The enemy does not want you growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share this with you, and it's not up on the screen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, please listen to this and bring this home with you. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have got to start training our brain when junk pops in here that we truly hold that captive and bring it right to Christ. And we know right away, like, we know that that's not right. So what do you do? Say, Holy Spirit, please, Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, please put better thoughts in my head. Because for most of us, if we can't train our brain and change this, if we can't be renewed in the spirit of our mind, then we can expect no change at all.